This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and Mission Impossible Fallout has exceeded expectations with its opening this past weekend. Mission Impossible Fallout with Tom Cruise, where I was for the U.S. premiere last Sunday morning, live from Washington, D.C., has taken in $61 million. The industry estimate on that was $59 million, so it has far exceeded that. In fact, has exceeded the opening weekend for all of the Mission Impossible movies. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which was installment number 5, only took in $55 million, so this is the biggest debut ever for the Mission Impossible series. Not the biggest Tom Cruise movie debut. That would still be War of the Worlds, that took in $64 million. But still, really impressive weekend for the movie, which is terrific, by the way. I gave it a Dean's List A. I think, you know, the storyline is a very interesting one, in which some bad guys, get their hands on some plutonium. They plan on setting up some nuclear bombs around the United States and around the world, set them off in order to throw off world order, to, cause obviously lots of problems with those kinds of explosions around the world. And it's up to the Impossible Mission Force, Tom Cruise and Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames. Henry Cavill joins them as kind of a by-the-book CIA agent who is added to the group in order to kind of keep an eye on this rogue bunch of spies. They are charged with, finding this plutonium and, bringing things back in world order again. So the plot line almost takes second nature to the amazing action in this movie. It is relentless, just nonstop, yet so beautifully choreographed. The action scenes, the car and motorcycle chases, jumping out of airplanes, helicopter dogfights up in the sky. Tom Cruise actually shattering his ankle doing one of the stunts, but continuing to do the stunt because he wanted to get it right. And they left the scene. For those of you who went to see the movie, there is a scene in which Tom Cruise is running from rooftop to rooftop to rooftop, and at one point jumps from a rooftop and smashes into the side of a building. That's where he shattered his ankle, and he is in a lot of pain. You can see in the scene, climbs up on the roof and continues running past the camera, and that's where they stopped, where he said, "I think I did something bad happened," and something did. He shattered his ankle, as you will hear him talk about when we play back the one-on-one interview with him in a couple of minutes. But just completely very exciting. I know a lot of people don't like Tom Cruise for his personal beliefs, for his involvement with the Church of Scientology. I judge the guy strictly on the movies that he makes. I've interviewed him numerous times. He has always been a gentleman to me. He has never brought up Scientology unless I have. It's not like he's peddling his Scientology on me, at least when I've interviewed him. It's always been very nice. But, think whatever you want of the guy. He's a hell of an actor. He really is an amazing actor. And, quite the daredevil as well. It turns out he delivers some pretty exciting movies. So in the next half hour, my one-on-one interview is with Tom Cruise and the rest of the cast of Mission Impossible Fallout, the new number one movie of the week, all coming up here on 720 WGN. All right, now at 11:51, we're set with my conversation with Tom Cruise on the red carpet of the U.S. premiere of Mission Impossible Fallout. We did these interviews last Sunday, right after the radio show, at the Museum of Air and Space at the Smithsonian last week. Check out my conversation with Tom Cruise. Congratulations on this. So exciting and so thrilling. It occurred to me while I'm watching this movie, The motion picture industry right now is loaded with action movies of aliens and superheroes and people in costumes. And along comes Tom with, like, what's the difference between your style of action movie and that?
Well, ours is practical action. And I think, look, I'm kind of a, you know, McHugh and I are more classic kind of filmmakers and storytellers, ones that, you know, the things that we love is, you know, the Harold Lloyd, the Buster Keatons, the Charlie Chaplins, and that kind of classic storytelling, and, you know, applying modern technology to this, but doing everything we can to invest the audience to not just, I don't want the audience just to watch the movie, I want them to really feel it. With any film I'm making, I don't want that objective. I want them on the edge of their seat. And I think that's what we're trying to do for the audience.
So you so famously injured yourself pretty seriously this time. Does that change your perspective? I mean, you are the daredevil of daredevils and will do anything, and I suspect that you haven't changed that much.
No.
But after the injury, did you say, maybe I ought to think about things a little more carefully?
I mean, I evaluated what I did wrong in that jump. I could do it better next time. And that's about it.
But it wouldn't hold you back from
doing
something even more daring, more exciting.
No.
My favorite response that I heard you tell somebody else on this carpet is your response when you jump out of a plane, your response when you do something spectacular.
In my mind is, oh, you know?
I love it.
That's what's going on in my mind sometimes.
You know, we love, in Chicago, we love that you've been there so many times and made so many films. What are your best Chicago memories?
Oh, man. You know, I've had so many. Obviously, you know, with Newman, you know, being there with Newman was incredible. You know, to have those times, I think about that, you know, and the sage advices that he gave me. And just to be there with Scorsese and Newman during that time. It was amazing. It was an amazing time. And I was there actually when they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
We were making Color Money at that time. But I have many great memories going there. You know, there's beautiful locations there, and I like to go back and make more movies there, actually.
Tom Cruise, the star of the number one movie in America for this weekend, Mission Impossible Fallout, co-starring in this movie with Henry Cavill, who we know best as Superman from his series of movies, Justice League and so forth, but also one of the regulars in the Mission Impossible franchise, Simon Pegg, who you know from movies like Shaun of the Dead and so many other comedies, but he plays it fairly dramatic in this movie and also even gets caught in some of the stunt work. We start off with Henry Cavill. What's the difficulty of balancing story and stunts? Because this one is so physical.
I think the great thing about this movie and a lot of the Tom Cruise movies is that the stunts aid the story. They're not just little bits stuck in there for a bit of action, a bit of fun. They are enhancing the narrative and the audience experience.
Yeah, you can't have any jeopardy or excitement from a stunt unless it has some bearing on the characters or the story. I mean, and Chris McQuarrie is really at pains to get this right. You know, you create characters that you're invested in, situations that are exciting, and those stunts then enhance everything. Without that, the stunts don't mean a thing.
Does being in a Tom Cruise movie sort of require that you really, really up your stunt game? With that, where you may have gone and think, well, I'm not going to do that much, but then you see him jump off a building,
yeah,
you think, well, now I have to jump off a building, or, you know.
Absolutely. I think I can speak for both of us, but being on a Mission Impossible movie, it's an opportunity to do all this stuff, and it is a lot of fun. It can be a lot of hard work at points and very dangerous as well, but it is a lot of fun, and being on the movie with Tom Cruise doing this sort of thing, it, by that very nature, ups the game. And it is exciting, and you do leave a movie feeling more experienced.
It's more challenging, more difficult than the Superman stunts and things that you've done.
Well, these stunts are very practical. They're real life stuff, and because we're all humans in this, and we're sort of bound by the laws of physics, the stunts are more exciting. Whereas the stunt maneuvers on a lot of superhero movies because a lot of the stuff is super powered, it's a CGI takeover more so than a practical stunt. And so that changes everything.
Yeah, on that point, it was really occurred to me during this movie that, you know, we see the action movies, the Avengers and the DC universe and, you know, all the superhero so-called action movies. Mm-hmm. It seems like this is so much more a truly action movie because it's humans, as you were talking about, Henry, and it's people doing things.
Absolutely, and it's people actually doing things as well. It's not just simulations of people doing things. We're all doing what you see us doing. And also we're in a world where death means something. You know, in the fantasy worlds, often death isn't the end. You know, characters can come back or, you know.
It's not true.
But with this, it's like, you know, I mean, there's genuine stakes in lots of ways, not just narratively, but for real. When you're watching those helicopters fly through the canyons, that's Henry. That's Henry being lifted off the ground by the fact that there's no gravity in the helicopter cabin. And it's Tom flying that helicopter, and you're seeing it for real. And that gives you a sense of investment that you don't have watching CG. That's not to decry CG. Yeah. It's an amazing tool, but it ain't real.
Is there a point where you go, what am I doing? Why am I in this helicopter?
Honestly, no. Because it's all for story, and there's a reason why. It's not just, as I was saying before, it's not just, hey, let's just do a crazy stunt for the sake of doing a crazy stunt. It's you're sitting there going, this is going to look amazing, and the audience is going to love this.
Yeah.
And it really does. You mean the third act of the movie, especially, you're on the edge of your seat.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's mind blowing. I wonder if some of the roles that you choose now are to separate yourself from Superman and Clark Kent.
There's no deliberate move to separate myself from Superman and Clark Kent. It's all about story. And
are they the same guy?
No.
I thought so.
No.
Spoiler.
Existentially speaking.
They told me not to talk about spoilers in here.
It's
the record show Simon did.
With the opportunity to work with Macquarie and Cruise and this wonderful cast like Simon and so on and so forth was what drew me to this, more so than just looking for something which would separate me from previous roles.
There's Henry Cavill and Simon Pegg from Mission Impossible Fallout. More coming up in just a bit. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN.
I love that you're making up words like
I
that.
I love making up words.
You have to.
I have another one for you.
Oh, you do?
What? Effervescent is a lovely word, so I say effervescently thrilling, which apparently is not a word. I'm Swedish.
It is now.
Well, verbalize it, and it is.
It is now. It's on TV, so it must be a word.
Effervescently thrilling.
Yeah, and it sounds a little dirty, too.
It's a little bit naughty, isn't it?
It sounds a little, which
a little bit naughty.
Kind of like that a little bit.
Of course you do. Yeah.
What does this role mean to you in terms of this year of powerful women, strong roles for women? Fine.
I think that I am bloody lucky to be God. He is zooming in. Did you just see? He stepped really close. Hi.
We're also doing. We're also doing a dermatology checks here while we're doing it.
There we go.
You have very nice
strong
pores.
Strong women, anyway. We are more than just looks. We are intelligent as well. To be honest, I think I am very lucky to be a part of this and to feel young and be active right now. And I feel it on set, but I think something which is not a homage, but a hats off to Chris and Tom, is I've never felt like a woman on set of a mission. I felt like a human being with them. And I know that in the last one, there were barely any women. And I didn't even think about it. But I think what Chris does is he creates character. And he creates a character arc for anyone, whether or not they have breasts or not. It doesn't matter. They are human beings. And if you take any of us out, there's a hole in the script.
Yeah.
And that's what equality is.
Equal partners in the movie.
Hmm?
Equal partners in the story.
Yes.
Which I think, aside from all the stunts and the fun, I think that's what makes it effervescently delicious.
Well done. Stuntaliciously demissionizing.
For you?
Thank you. I'm thrilled because the movie is so good. I'm really...
I agree with you.
Yeah. You know, this is an amazing franchise, and, you know, it really does deliver every single time. And, you know, to be a part of this, to explore that love story a little bit more, I feel like the fans will feel really satisfied about it.
Talk to me about balancing the story with all of the stunts. I mean, the stunts are overwhelming.
But I still feel like the story wasn't there. It wouldn't be the same.
Well, and that's a testament to Christopher, and he'll be the first one who tells you story is everything. You know, the stunts can always figure out a thrill, you know, a thrilling scene, a suspenseful scene, but you've got to have the audience invested, and they've got to care about these characters. And I think that's part of maybe one of the reasons why they decided to bring Julia back and to explore that a little bit further with Ethan. I think also what's really done well is that you have these four amazing, powerful women that have come into this particular one, and they all bring out a different side of Ethan. And so you kind of get to explore this darker side with him. And I think people are going to appreciate that as well.
I was going to ask you about that, because this seems like such a great time now for women in movies.
Yeah.
Finally.
Finally, right? Exactly. Let's keep it up, right? There's still more work to be done, most certainly. But I feel like people are more conscious now, and the opportunities are starting to roll in, and we're going to continue in that direction.
You're going to pick one day during the shooting of this that was so memorable, so funny, so something.
Oh, well, I will say it's the first scene of the movie. Without giving it away, we shot in the most beautiful location I've ever seen in my life, called Milford Sound. We had about, I don't know, we had about an hour to shoot it. We had to leave one of our locations. We all jumped in, like three choppers. Tom was in the front seat. I was in the back. We passed all these beautiful glaciers. We ran down. We shot the opening scene of the movie, and we did it in about 20 minutes. It felt like we were making a little independent film, and we were all in awe of its beauty. It's we shot it in New Zealand, Milford Sound, so it's beautiful.
I think part of it comes to me. I think, by and large, it comes to me. I see it. I recognize it. Find something, you know, exciting or thrilling on the page about it, and then I go for it.
Yeah,
it certainly came to me. I didn't seek out Mission Impossible. I got the call. Somebody must just have come in.
Uh-oh.
Who could that be?
Wonder if it could be a Superman that might be down there. Because for me, when you walked in the room, that's what I did. I've been such a big fan for a long time. In fact, I was flipping around the other day, What's Love Got to Do It with It Is On.
Yeah.
And that movie is just so powerful and so strong still after all these
still
years.
Holds, still stands the test of time.
It sure
it?
Does, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it.
But the big, I think the big movie story of the year is going to be Black Panther. And I know that you're all so very proud of what that became and what it represents.
Absolutely, all around the world.
But also just, I mean, continuing... representing different voices and different faces and things in the movies that we hadn't really seen.
Another representation of what we haven't seen, and the fact that it did so well economically, you know, it's just another amen, you know, that folk who count numbers need. So it was just a triumph artistically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, on all fronts.
So happy for you. It's so nice to see you. Thank you. If you were to judge what is more dangerous, some of the stunts that Tom does in this movie or some of the people that you have to interview on a nightly, what do you think is more treacherous?
It's more treacherous what Tom does. Yeah. He does all of his own stunts, and it's really, you know, breathtaking what he does. I just ask questions, do follow-ups, and move on. You know, but he really, he's first of all a great actor. But the fact that he does his own stunts. By the way, have you seen the film already?
I have.
So can you confirm I did my own stunts in this film?
You were titillating in this movie.
Amazing.
Some of the things that you did in this film. How do you approach doing something like this? I mean, I presume that CNN has to sign off on it. But you must also have to be very careful about what you do because of your day job.
I've been invited to be in several films. And CNN, Standards and Practice Department, always reviews it. I review it. We look at the script. We look at the context. We read it. And we make a decision. I was just so excited that I was going to be in Mission Impossible. I was really hoping that my big bosses would say yes. And guess what? They said yes. So it was just very exciting, very thrilling. And I had a great time.
Is that a nice break for you to do something like this, just to get away from the day-to-day news that these days, you know, is pretty depressing and, you know, can beat you up a little bit watching, I can imagine.
It's pretty intense. It was great to get away. 3 days in England, doing something totally different than I normally do. and getting away from this news cycle, which has been so, so intense over the past couple of years. So I loved it. I was really happy. And if they want me to come back in the sequel, I'll be more than happy to say yes.
What's your perception of Chicago, just from a national basis, and sitting in the Situation Room and reporting the news? What is your take of how our city?
I think Chicago is a great city. I've been there many times, and I love Chicago. It's heartbreaking to see the crime that goes on the south side of Chicago. You hear about it, and you wonder, what if anything can be done about that? Because you see all these shootings all the time. You know a lot more about it than I do, but it's really sad when I see that. Given the fact that I think so much of the rest of Chicago is just a wonderful, wonderful place, but what's happening in the south, is it still going on as badly as usual?
It's summertime is the worst
time. Yeah. It's just heartbreaking to see that, and I don't know what the answer is. I know Mayor Emanuel probably got his hands full.